The country is in political turmoil, and though not visible below the surface, a dirty political fight as oily as the bottom of the Seine roils. Diana Johnstone is an author and journalist. Her book titles include From Mad to Madness, Inside Pentagon Nuclear War Planning, Circle in the Darkness, Memoirs of a World Watcher, and Fool's Crusade, Yugoslavia, NATO, and Western Delusion. Diana's articles can be found at consortiumnews.com, where her recent piece, D-Day 2024, appears. Diana Johnstone, welcome back to the program.
Well, thank you very much for the invitation.
Well, it's always my pleasure to speak with you. Of course, now, Diana, we are hearing, even way over here across the Atlantic, murmurs of the political there. Can you give our listeners an idea of what Monsieur Macron's doing and the gall of the man?
Well, I think the reports that you're hearing are not quite accurate because the situation is quite complicated. Macron has created a mess at a time when there is no majority, including his own majority. The majority voted against him, but they voted two ways. They voted to the left or to the right, and the left and the right don't speak to each other these days. That's one of the specialties of this present political atmosphere. And so you have a stalemate that is going to be very hard, if not impossible, to solve. I think you mentioned or referred to the idea that there has been a government that's been elected, but that's not the case.
Well, the NFP, France unbowed the LFP, the Socialist Party, and the Greens and the Communist Party. They were forming have proposed a prime minister because of, well, maybe we should talk about France's political structure because it's not the same as what we have here in Canada or in the United States. But Macron didn't run in these past elections. He remains as president, even though his party was decimated and the opposition got the most votes, but they didn't get an outright majority. They're trying to form a coalition government, which isn't so strange, but they've been unable to do it, as you described, because of this left-right bifurcation and the fact that the two will not get together. But do they not have enough to form a government or at least to emplace a prime minister?
No, they don't. Quite simply, these parties that you just mentioned formed an electoral alliance that they with a sort of historical memory they called the New Front Populaire as a reminder of the good old days in the 1930s when there was a strong left. But these parties, it's quite different what they are now, and they don't necessarily agree with each other. They formed this electoral alliance, and I mean, it's very complicated because, first of all, they formed this electoral alliance, and then you have two rounds in these elections. Now, in the first round, the right wing Rassemblement. National Rally, I'll give you the English side, the National Rally was the party that came in first. And so it has been a custom of the center and the left to call this National Rally, which is headed by Marine Le Pen, to call it fascist or extreme right so that we mustn't have anything to do with it. So they keep this scare going, although the National Rally under Marine Le Pen has made great efforts to become as moderate as you can imagine, and is the program. There's nothing fascist about it, but it's very convenient for the other parties to say it's fascist because then they get together and they created a barrage to make sure that if you had the kind of first past the post election the way they just did in Britain, you'd have probably had a National Rally majority and a government because they came in first. Also, the second round, the left compromised with the Macron people, who are supposed to be their enemy, to withdraw their candidate in a, when there's a, in a third, when there are three candidates in the second round, they would withdraw in favor of the other one. And this, because of this device, both the center, the Macron center, and the left came, got more votes than they would have otherwise. But nevertheless, in the second round, it's still the party that came in first was still the National Rally, and it got the largest majority it has ever had. And so this going around saying that the left won this election is really not accurate. The left did not win the election. The left parties together came in with 193. Now there's 577 seats in the assembly. A majority is 289. Now the left coalition came in with 193 seats, and the right came in with 189, and the Macron came in with 166. So you have a three-way division, and none of those are a majority. But I would point out that in terms of votes, to say that the left won, it's because of this trick that they did of abstaining in favor of the left abstaining in favor of Macron and Macron people abstaining in favor of the left. But if you look at how many popular votes there were, okay, the left altogether in the second round had 7 million votes, but more than 7 million votes, and 26% of the vote. But the National Rally on the right, on the second term, had 10,647,000 votes and 37% of the vote. So in popular votes, the right had the most popular votes, but they did not get the most seats because of this, the way this barrage effect. Now, if you had a different system of voting, you'd have had a very different result. But to say that the Nouveau Front Populaire won the election and therefore has a right to a government is a huge exaggeration, because in fact, they got 26% of the vote.
And well, so now, Diana, though, that they're sore losers then, because there's talk now too of a move of impeachment against Macron. Is that impeachment going to make it to the courts then, given everything that you've said? And does Macron, does a party absolutely require a majority for a prime minister to be in place? That this is something that is on Macron's desk. They would serve, I guess, at his pleasure by the sounds of it. Can he appoint a prime minister from a party that doesn't have an outright majority in the House?
You know, the Constitution was written not expecting this to happen. Now, twice in the past, you've had once a left-wing president, and it was Mitterrand, and there was a right-wing majority in Parliament, and it was what they called cohabitation. That is, he appointed a right-wing prime minister, and it was a socialist government. And the second time, it was Chirac who called for a dissolution, and he got a socialist majority, and he gave Jospin a socialist prime minister. But in those cases, the opposition was a solid majority. This is not the case now, you see. This has never happened before in this constitution. So there's no precedent for this. There's no precedent for this situation. And of course, Macron is not being helpful, and nobody is being helpful.
What about the impeachment calls?
Well, that has called for by the head of the Unbowed. Now, the Unbowed is the largest component of this left coalition. It's headed by Jean-Luc Mélenchon, who is the most colorful, eloquent leader on the left, he's also the target of just about everybody, including the media, especially since he and his party, alone in France, have defended the Palestinians, and therefore they are being denounced as anti-Semitic. And so just as there was a barrage against the far right in this election, that we mustn't let the far right govern, so we must get together both the center and the left to stop them because they're fascist. Now there's the talk of there's got to be a barrage against the unbowed and Mélenchon because of his attitude toward the Middle East, which is called anti-Semitic. So when you play this barrage game, it goes both ways. When you have this idea that the some parties are outside our Republican values, they've argued this forever against the right, but then now it's being turned against the most popular party on the left, which is the unbowed. And this, you see, what has happened in this this device, this electoral device of the second term, has revived the Socialist Party, which was just about dead. That's one reason the unbowed has become the leading party on the left. But they agreed to give these seats, to offer these seats to the Socialist Party. So now on the left, the unbowed by this deal actually lost. They had 75 seats in the first round, and they were down to 72 in the second round. But the Socialist Party, which had had 31 seats in the first round, gets 66, a huge increase. They also did favors that way for the ecologists, who are not very popular. So the unbowed party did everything for this coalition, and now the strategy of Macron clearly is to make a coalition with parts of the right, the Republicans, which are not the Republican Party, which has shrunk very much. It's the remnant of the Gaullists, and parts of the Socialist Party, which hasn't happened yet. But that's what Macron is trying to do. Now, the proposal for destitution or impeachment was made by Mélenchon, but it's very unlikely to be pursued.
Well, if you've just tuned in, you're listening to Guerrilla Radio. I'm speaking today with Diana Johnstone. Diana is an author and journalist. Her book titles include From Mad to Madness, Inside Pentagon Nuclear War Planning, Circle in the Darkness, Memoirs of a Fool's Crusade, Yugoslavia, NATO, and Western Delusion. Diana is a resident in France, in Paris, has been there for many decades now. She also writes for consortiumnews.com. Her recent piece is D-Day 2024. So, Diana, where we are right now, you say it's unprecedented. There's no government functioning in France. Is this what Macron wanted all along, was to use his party to bolster a division that would deadlock the House so that he could call dissolution of the election entirely and kick the ball a year and a half down the field so that there would be no functioning opposition to him? And
frankly, there's not a feeling here that he's been really knowing what he's been doing. There's a general feeling that he's caused this mess. And it's, if you see, he's president until 27. He's in there safely, and he runs everything. His old government is still in place, although it shouldn't be. It's still there. They haven't resigned. They said they were resigning, but some of them didn't. So there's no government. There's no functioning parliament. There's no functioning government. Now,
has he called for dissolution? Has he made the motion to dissolve?
He can't. You can't do that for another year. So he's stuck with this. So what he's trying to do is to corrupt the socialists, enough of get enough of those socialists. You see, thanks to the unbowed generosity, the socialists have 66 people in there, and it's not inconceivable that if you could corrupt enough of the socialists and bring in the Republicans on the right, you could make a centrist government. That, I mean, mathematically, that's possible. And among the socialists who came in is ex-President Hollande, who has come back into politics by being elected, thanks to this, what they call magouille here, to this electoral foolishness. He's back in. And, of course, it was Macron comes from a Hollande government. So it isn't inconceivable that you can corrupt some of these socialists to break off on the grounds that they mustn't have anything to do with Mélenchon because he's anti-Semitic, because he defends Hamas, which is a terrorist organization. Although I must say that they actually do denounce Hamas as a terrorist organization, but that doesn't seem to do them any good.
Is this like a Jeremy Corbyn situation where no matter what he says, the stain is there for political purposes?
Frankly, you see, this is just another, frankly, it's just a device. It's, I think, calling the national rally fascist is simply a device for people to get in, to be in power, and calling people anti-Semitic is the opposite device. And in France, the thing is, in France, France is quite different from the United States. The United States, you have, of course, the entire political establishment is pro-Israel. The money has seen to that, right? In France, it's a little bit different. It's the guilt trip. And here, but it's not just that, but the Jewish community in France is just very solidly pro-Israel. Not now in the United States, you have a lot of Jewish criticism of Israel. But here, not so much, or not very little. So it's very easy. It's easier here to say it's all anti-Semitism if you criticize Israel, because the Jews are all standing up for it, pretty much.
Well, so Diana, can we change as our time is fast running out? So things just sound like a chaos. Whether Macron is a fifth dimension, a dimensional chess player, or just totally inept is up in the air right now. But as far as other issues involving France, outside of France, we've seen just the other day the arrest of Telegram CEO and founder Durov. There's people that have connected this arrest. I mean, there's all kinds of theories out there, but one of them is that Telegram has been a thorn in the French side in Africa as a communication device that is used to undermine French colonial standing or neo-colonial standing there, which we've seen some reversals of over the last year or so, and especially in the so-called coup belt.
What everybody says here is that Macron uses Telegram, and also he a couple of years ago, just out of the blue, he gave French citizenship to Pavel Durov, supposedly for services to France. This makes no sense. But I'm beginning to think that Macron makes no sense. Because arresting Pavel Durov is not going to change anything in Africa. The big excuse given, as usual in these cases, is pedophilia. Everybody talks about pedophilia. There are pedophiles that are using this, and this is horrible, and it's, you know, not to mention all the other bad guys are using this platform, and therefore, but it's completely new to arrest the CEO of a platform for the supposed, for the theoretical crimes committed by people using that platform. Ça, c'est vraiment nouveau. But
well, what about the rumor, Diana, that Macron made a lunch date with Pavel Durov, and then he landed, and then an arrest warrant was immediately sworn out for him, and he was taken into custody. Is there anything to that?
I don't know, but it's possible because he's had lunch with him before. He gave him French citizenship out of the blue, just like that. And what was I going to say? That
you can say it.
Well, I'm trying to remember what I was going to say.
Well, Diana, another thing too is Israel. You say that the close or the influence that Israel exerts within French politics. Another theory about the Telegram arrest was that the Telegram platform is being used by opponents of Israel, and it goes around the Israel-friendly WhatsApp communication application, and that Israel was wanted to see an end to it because its enemies were using it to some effect.
Well, that's possible. You see, a lot of things are possible. I mean, I'm sure that there are a lot of people who... I also read somewhere that a lot of Russians use the encrypted telegram, including the military. So maybe the idea is to spy on the Russian military. You know, I mean, you can get any kind of theory you want to about why. You can find all sorts of reasons why they might have done this. The thing is, what they say they did it is because of all this terrible criminality. And then Macron says, but we respect a freedom of expression. Well, they've banned RT in France. They've banned Rumble in France. They don't respect free expression at all. that's not the case. So you don't know what's going on because nobody's telling the truth. And you feel that Macron is not in control of anything, that the left is, or the Unbound have called for a street demo to take this controversy into the streets on the 7th of September with a demonstration against Macron. He's going to try to put together some kind of. But he can't. You can't just keep dissolving the parliament. That's not you. He can't do that for a year. So you've stuck with this parliament, which, as I say, does not have a majority. There is no majority there. Now, if people were sensible, which they're not, you could say, look, both the left and the right don't like Macron. They voted against him, and a lot of the people who voted against him on the left or the right have the same complaints. If you had a sensible political system, the left and the right, I mean the Unbowed and the Rally, could get together and discuss certain things on which they have a general agreement. But you don't do that anymore. The left and the right have to, the left especially has to hate the right. Its identity is that it won't have anything to do with the right. And so you can't discuss issues. You just have these identities. The right is bad because Hitler was bad. Remember Hitler?
Well, no, that's before my time. Diana, finally, and I really thank you. I know that Paris is burning. Speaking of Hitler, it's smoldering right now for you in the 90s by the old Fahrenheit scale that some of us gray beards still remember. But Diana, finally, the Olympics was a big diversion, and Macron has said himself, oh, we can't talk about any of this while the Olympics is going on. While the Olympics is over, it sounds like it's still a mess, this left-right bifurcation, unbridgeable. How about the people? Are they, you mentioned September 7th, is there a sense on the streets that the people are fed up with the whole business and that they'll get out Gilets Jaunes style and make the public voice heard?
Well, now, oddly enough, my feeling is that there isn't. I think maybe the fact that the Gilets Jaunes were so repressed by the police. Remember, the police were shooting at them and shooting out eyes and shooting out hands and things like that. There's a sort of a strange thing. I feel that in France, there's, I just read that a record young number of young people have converted from atheism to Catholicism. It's like there's a certain deep, it's like a discouragement that is going on. And you have to see that there's this huge ethnic difference, which everybody is afraid of. You have the largest Muslim population, and also the largest, you have both the largest Jewish and the largest Muslim population in any country in Europe. And people are rather afraid of where this can go, because the Jewish population tends to identify the Muslims and the Palestinians with terrorist attacks, although that has nothing to do with Palestinians. The Palestinians are concerned with Palestine. They are absolutely not concerned with messing up things in France. But there's this identity politics that comes in and makes it very hard to have united policies on issues.
Well, Diana, as I said, I don't want to keep you over long knowing the conditions. I really appreciate you coming on and trying to clear the muddied waters over here. By the time news gets this far away from the heart of Paris, what we get is a lot more squawk than talk. It sounds like a spiritual malaise in the City of Lights and beyond it right now and for the immediate. Thanks again, Diana, and I really look forward to our next.
I wish I could be clearer, but the situation is not clear.
I think that you represent it well. I also want to thank, actually, Joe Bizet for coming on as well. And Joe is a friend of yours. I know Diana and I look in my records. The last time you and I spoke, Joe was the other half of the show, completely coincidental or maybe something more than that. But thanks a lot for coming on, eh?
Okay, thank you.
Moscow, Tokyo, New York, Guerrilla Radio is everywhere. Online at guerrilla-radio.com. Everywhere, all the time.
Chicago, Jakarta, Helsinki, Cape Town, Sao Paulo, Manchester, Bangalore, and somewhere in Russia, I can't actually remember the name.
Are you curious about the latest news in Canadian politics, labor, environment, feminism, and activism? Tune in to Rabble Radio on CJSF 90.1 FM to hear the latest news and stories that matter to you. Rabble Radio is the flagship podcast of Rabble.ca.
Hi, this is Jesse Brown, the host of Canada Land, Canada's only media criticism program. Every week I talk to some of the most interesting people in the country about some of the things that matter most. We talk about the news media, about comedy, film, music, and politics. And you can now listen on CJSF 90.1 FM every Monday at 5 p.m. Wait for it.
speak.